King, and he is a filmmaker. His website is bluebeatgreen.com. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hey, Deanna. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, you're very welcome. Now, you were working on a film, or you were had an idea of doing a new movie. What was that movie going to be about?
Okay, so yeah, my team and I were launching a film on Kickstarter.com. Are you familiar with Kickstarter?
No.
It's a crowdsource funding platform. So it's a website where you can put your idea up. It could be a film, could be a music album, and you can set a funding goal and get it out there to the public, and people can get behind your project. Basically, by pre-ordering DVDs and stuff, they can become backers and help fund the project. So I actually funded my previous film using Kickstarter, and the one that we were just trying to raise funds for, we were calling Ice Bear. And the idea is we were going to dig into the truth behind the polar bear issue. We're all familiar with polar bear story, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the street about global warming, and immediately they're going to picture a polar bear, you know, presumably about ready to, you know, maybe fall in the water and drown, just sitting there on this ever-shrinking ice chunk.
Right.
And it's been the icon of the global warming climate change movement now ever since Al Gore's movie came out 8 or 10 years ago now. But here's the thing. Polar bears are actually one of the greatest wildlife conservation success stories out there. There's, I think, at least 5 times the number of polar bears alive today than there were 1,500 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. In other words, ever since Al Gore was born, polar bear population has, like, quintupled. So that's something that the public is, by and large, very unaware of. You know, just the day after we had to call off our campaign, you know, a viral article was circulating about emaciated polar bears starving in the Arctic. I mean, the reality is that the Arctic sea ice in 2013, winter into 2014, grew by a third. And Antarctic ice sheet is at the all-time high right now. So the global ice sheet is basically the same as it was when scientists first began monitoring it back in 1979. So ice is the same. There's way more polar bears. So where's the evidence of the global warming climate change alarmists?
You mean they're lying to us? I'm being facetious, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Well, saying the truth would be an easy way of saying it.
Sure. Well, now you have done other movies. Tell us about your other movies.
Correct, yeah. So here I've done several documentaries focused on environmental issues. The first one that I did, I started when I was about 17, 18 years old. I'm about ready to turn 25, so I've been doing this my whole adult life. But I grew up on a cattle ranch in Montana, and a beautiful place surrounded by picturesque mountains. We had all kinds of wildlife in the valley, and we raised 400 black Angus cows. We had horses and snowmobiles and everything else that made it a dream to grow up as a kid, young boy, you know. I just love mm-hmm. that's right about my passion for the outdoors, but and creation. But it was while I was there that we started experiencing the impact of the Gray Wolf Recovery Program that was started in 1995. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service went up to Canada and they tranquilized a bunch of wolves and they transplanted them down to Yellowstone and let them go.
Why would they do that? Why don't they just leave nature alone?
Well, that's what they want us to do, and that's what they say that they do, but they don't. But that's a long story. Long story short, these wolves started multiplying like crazy, and in a matter of years, they had infiltrated our valley where we lived, and we're just beginning to annihilate. Really being hit hard, and we're really thinned out. By the wolves, cattle, we had horses, you know, our neighbors lost a foal, two wolves while the mare is actually giving birth. The wolves ate the foal.
Oh, no.
So this is kind of the scene that I grew up in, and I'm watching on the one hand when the federal government is sending in, agents and trappers to come out and basically they employed them full time to control. In other words, because there's so many wolves in the valley, they just had to start aerial gunning them or trapping them and doing everything they could do to send them out because they were just annihilating everything. And I'm seeing this on one hand, and then on the other hand, the same government that's behind this is telling the public, oh, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened. Oh, ever since the wolves came, it's been sunshine and roses, and it's had this magical effect on the ecosystem, and things are back to how they should be now that there's wolves. Well, not true. None of it was true. And not only that, but, you know, you had environmentalists lying about organizations like Defenders of Wildlife about the impacts that the wolves were having on people who live there. And I was always interested in filmmaking growing up, and I thought that would be an interesting topic for people, and it was something I might be able to tackle. So I got myself a camera that was a little bit nicer than our camcorder.
Mm-hmm.
Camcorder, and I bought a microphone, and I set out on a mission to try to learn more about this and what was going on behind the scenes, and what I found out just completely blew me away. So that's how I got interested in that topic, and then I produced that film for about a year and a half, and then I started trying to show it across the country for another 6 months or so. And as I started traveling around and meeting more people, I started hearing all kinds of stories about people getting stepped on by the environmental movement or environmental policies, you know, in the name of saving the planet, and actually did more harm than good. So people were just saying, hey, you got to tell our story. You got to get this story out. You got to do another film. And so I started making my second film, which I funded on Kickstarter. I raised $60,000 from about 500 people across the country who believed in the message, and I produced my second film, which is called Blue. The website is bluebeatsgreen.com, and I documented ways all across the country where people were suffering because of the Green Agenda.
Wow. So who's behind the Green Agenda besides the people we typically hear about, like Al Gore?
Well, you know, Deanna, it's a gravy train. It's probably about the easiest way to explain it. It's a green money spigot that's been turned on, and now for anything related to proving how humans are hurting the planet or proving global warming, there's so much money to be made. There's really five or six leading groups who are just making bank off of this. You've got the green organizations themselves, all kinds of grants given out for anything related that they do. You've got the media, crazy stories of planets dying. People love that type of stuff. You've got universities, which is a big one that a lot of people don't talk about. It's one of the things that I think is one of the biggest issues out there. Professors, in order to get tenured, they need to be able to bring in a lot of grant money. Okay, where's the grant money coming from now? It's coming from this, that, and everything related to proving how carbon dioxide is causing global warming. Okay, so a professor starts getting a lot of grants, writing up a lot of programs about saving the planet from fossil fuels, well, they're going to get a lot of grants. And that professor might get tenured because the board likes professors that bring in a lot of money. So it's a total conflict of interest going on there. It's not freedom in academia at all. And then you have the politicians, and you got various other groups. We're all making bank off of this. You've got the power companies themselves, and I find this kind of ironic. All across the country, we've got the same people who are making, you know, who are villainized and demonized by environmentalists, you know, power companies. Well, they're the same people who are putting up the wind turbines, right?
Right.
all it is a transfer of wealth. It's taxing people, and because they're all subsidized by the government, and it's taking from the American taxpayer, and it's lining the pockets of companies that are already very wealthy.
Wow. Well, when you think of some of these groups, one comes to mind, the Nature Conservancy, and I know that their board of directors, I did a little study on it, a little research several years ago, and just looking at their board of directors, it was very obvious that who was directing this and who was making money and who was making these decisions, and they were actually going against the small farmers. And given your experience in Montana, and I've been to Montana, it's a beautiful, beautiful state, absolutely gorgeous.
And I suspect
that the same thing that happened in your state is happening all over the country, that the government or one of its agencies or several of its agencies are making policy changes or bringing in other animals or insects or whatever that are actually very destructive to the community.
Right, and so many times those communities didn't want any of that to happen in the first place. And that's where I see a lot of, say, eco-injustice happening. If you watch my film Blue, bluebeatscreen.com, you can check out there. I got films available there as well. But if you watch that film, you'll go on a journey with me, and I'll take you to these western states, especially the western United States, because so much of the land is controlled by federal agencies and bureaucracies. Montana's got 20 or 30% of BLM and state and federal forest lands, and Nevada's overwhelmingly controlled by the feds in terms of geographically. All the western states are. And you get so many problems there because you have a local community that wants to access the natural resources there, keep the mine open, keep jobs, responsibly harvest the forest in a way that benefits the ecosystem. And then you have people from a bureaucracy somewhere or an environmental group somewhere that come in and say, you guys cannot use this road anymore. We're going to shut it down. You guys cannot cut down any more trees because you're killing owls. You guys can't do this. Or you guys have to deal with wolves. You guys have to deal with grizzly bears. And you have no choice. And that's where I see a huge problem in this country right now. Because these communities should be able to decide what goes on in their own backyards. These people know the land better than anybody else. They've lived there for generations, 4 or 5 generations. You know, their great grandparents are the ones who settled these valleys. And they know the animals there. They know the wildlife there. They know the health of the forest there better than anybody from any university. And it's the saddest thing to me, when I see these people who aren't connected to the land come in, shut everything down, destroy all the jobs, and in doing so, more often than not, really harming the environment. And you just see a wake of destruction. And the young people, for example, in Montana, they leave because there's no opportunity. The fastest growing demographic in Montana is like 55 to 60. Because young people just leave because there's nothing there anymore. We used to have, I think within the last decade, we've lost 50,000 jobs in the timber industry. And that's a huge impact for a state that has, 900,000 permanent residents. And it's these kind of natural resource jobs that are the foundation for everything else.
Now, has Halliburton come into Montana, Wyoming, and engaged in fracking or any of that kind of thing?
There is, to my knowledge, not as much fracking going on in Montana as, for example, North Dakota. The Bakken oil field out there is going crazy. Montana has not been seeking ways to extract that oil like other states have.
Mm-hmm. But you mentioned the timber industry. And, of course, when the timber industry, and I know that this is true in Washington also, you replant, it's self-sustaining, correct?
Right. Absolutely, yeah. And one of the results that we've seen, one of the consequences, I should say, rather, in all these western states, is wildfire. Wildfire years has been just absolutely crazy. Look at California this year. Recent articles just published that actually talked about how more or less it's negligence by the California, Department of Fish and Game or whatever they have out there, because it's mismanagement. What we've done is we've kept man out from actively managing the landscape, it's not good. It's not good for man. It's not good for the environment, because what you end up with is an overprotected forest that just grows and grows and grows, and then pine beetles come in like it's going on in the Rocky Mountains and become so dense that the new growth doesn't come up. And the trees begin to die, and it turns into a tinderbox, and you get fires that just cause all kinds of damage. They can burn so hot that they scorch the soil and turn it into glass, so it takes 1,000 years to recover. They pollute the water so bad that all the fish die. And this sort of thing never used to happen when in areas that we were that people were allowed to actively manage.
Right. Well, I grew up in California. I grew up in Sacramento. And when I see the fires on television, on the nightly news, I mean, it just breaks my heart. And I'm thinking, what the heck is going on out there that is causing all these fires? I mean, it's just terrible. Off. And you think that it's mismanagement, or you know it's mismanagement. And I remember also the problem with the water, that they wanted to save this little tiny fish.
Right.
And so they diverted water somehow away from the farmland, such as in the San Joaquin Valley. I know that a lot of the almond growers had to cut down their trees and everything. And I think, my gosh, a third of the produce for this entire country comes from California, and they're destroying the entire sea.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that was the snail darter, wasn't it? The snail darter minnow?
Yeah, it was some little minnow or something. You know, it's a...
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought I saw a stat recently on the California water drought situation, which has been terrible. But I believe it was, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but was it 5 or 10% of the water was used for human consumption, and they wouldn't let the water levels get below 4. And that water's just rushing out to the ocean.
Exactly. They should be building a dam. They should be doing a whole lot of things that they're not doing. And the other thing...
Yeah, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head when you talked about dams. You know, the policies in the U.S. used to be, you know, let's build some reservoirs, let's build some dams for when those droughts come, we have the water.
Exactly.
We can increase the productivity of the land, we can manage it better, we can improve it when we have better access to water. But in the last 10 years, that has completely flip-flopped. And in my film Blue, I actually go to places in Northern California that have suffered tremendously because of environmentalists trying to take dams out. And what's going on is it's just so crooked in all levels. You know, the people and the organizations that advocate for dam removal, in the case of the Klamath Dam system in Northern California, well, there's $2 billion riding on getting those dams out. You know, who gets the money for taking the dams out? You know, it's the people who get to do it. And for 20 years after the fact, guess what? There's going to be restoration projects, and who's in charge of that?
These same people.
So they get these dams taken out, and they're set for life.
Right.
On top of that, you see dams being one of the most renewable energies out there, hydropower. Well, guess what just recently happened out in, like, Washington, I think Oregon.
Jeff, we do have a three-minute break. We'll be right back, and we'll pick this up.
This is a public announcement. Be ready to copy down a website address at the end of this message. First off, a big thank you to people from Oregon, California, New York, Maine, Connecticut, Saskatchewan, Canada. People are logging on to landho.tv, and they are purchasing land in the United States in sunny New Mexico for as low as $350 down in 99 months. In 1 year, you own the land. These are usable parcels in a development that can only be worth more money in the years to come. Similar lots in the same development have sold for up to $15,000. So it really is a no-brainer. Visit landho.tv to purchase yours today via PayPal. Other mainstream investments are good, but they sit in a vault. Land remains a true investment that you can use while it can increase in value. Current land prices are already going up, and this commercial could be pulled at any time, so you must act fast, because when these properties are gone, they're gone. $350 down, $99 a month. Landho.tv. LANDHO.TV. Right now.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Woo, nice shooting. Hey, a sweet AK-47 chest rig.
Yep, strike hard.
Strike what?
Hard.com.
SunStrikeGear.com. Tough, your Soviet-style USA. A bus, no questions, payback guarantee, and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
Dr. Joel Walk, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices. And receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
We are back. Deanna, our guest this last hour is Jeffrey D. King. He is a filmmaker. His film, Blue, for Earth, for Humanity, for Freedom, you can purchase that at bluebeatsgreen.com. And you were talking just before the break of the Klamath Dam, and I'm very familiar with Folsom Dam. And then I also wanted to ask you about the Animas River and in Colorado. But anyway, go ahead with the Klamath Dam situation.
Yeah, well, what I was just touching on is how the dam situation is reversed in this country. And I think, you know, just recently came out and said, and he was the head of the Department of the Interior for a while. I think he still, I don't remember. But he said that we need to consider removing 75,000 dams across the United
States. Oh, my gosh! Is he crazy?
Here's the thing. It's because, you know, nature is more important than humans are, right? The fish deserve to swim how they would have swum if there wasn't a dam there or whatever. Well, and like I mentioned, the dams give us one of the most powerful, consistent, affordable, renewable, reliable energy sources in hydropower. But guess what? Washington and Oregon and maybe even the whole United States said, they reclassified it. So hydropower no longer counts towards renewables. So when all this grant money comes in and these gobs of billions of dollars is given out to these states for alternative energies now, well, even though 40 or 30% of Washington is powered by dams, it no longer counts as renewable, and they have to put in wind turbines, and they have to put in solar panels, you know, and it's just a joke, like I mentioned earlier. It's all about the money.
Wow. Dams have always been, great sources of power. Now all of this water that should be used for farming, for growing produce and whatnot, is going out into the Pacific, which is a crime, in my opinion.
Yeah, and a parallel issue to all of this, too, is the amount of access that's being systematically shut off, especially in the western United States, just road after road after road. I think in just the last couple of years, in just the state of Montana, there's been like 9,000 of Forest Service and logging access roads shut down. I've done work with a group in Montana, Citizens for Balanced Youth, but I just spoke with their president again last night. He's just like, people are calling me almost daily saying, my favorite place to go in the mountains is shut down. What's up with that? This place is shut down. I can't go here anymore. I can't go there anymore. And there's a systematic effort going on, to control people using the environment. And that's where we see, like water situations in California, shutting down natural resources in the western United States. And all of this leads back to what I think is just at the heart of this issue, which is a dire, you know, lust for power and control by many people who are in these large, well-funded environmental organizations and who are in the federal agencies, the EPA, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And it really is a revolving door, Deanna. These same people who work with Nature Conservancy, who work with Save the Planet organization, whatever, they know everybody who works in the federal agencies, and they just switch back and forth every couple of years. They're the same radical environmental groups whose editor writes, human beings are the same value as slugs. If I could die and come back as a virus to wipe out humanity from the map, I mean, these are the same people that, unfortunately, are setting a lot of the environmental policies in America today.
Exactly. And didn't, who said that, the come back as a virus?
That was a former U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service biologist.
Right. So you're really talking about depopulation.
Yeah, by and large. You know, a lot of people that I talk with who are familiar with Agenda 21, United Nations document to basically regulate the planet, especially Western developed countries, especially America, in the name of the environment, which is absurd regulations. Well, one of the goals under Agenda 21 is depopulation, and I touch on this in my film Blue. 85% is kind of the sweet spot. They want to see 85% of people removed from the planet. Well, what's the cleanest and easiest way to do that?
Yeah. Well, we have to go to a break. We'll pick this up on the other side. Sorry. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
This is a private corporation, not a income tax voluntary complaint to unvoluntary continue volunteering into the IRS. Visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement strategy one. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent result in contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement strategy one immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get strategy one and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, strategy one, to be free from the IRS. Escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartbop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there's only one, Pure Effect Ultra. It features advanced anti-radiation technology and is constantly rated 5 stars as the number one system for reduction of fluoride, drug and chemtrail residues, heavy metals, and more. It raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and provides virtually instant clean water on demand, all while using no electricity. Want to learn more? Visit PureEffectFilters.com. That's PureEffectFilters.com.
Come to Finca Bayano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugoutpanama.com.
We'll be right back.
Deanna, and our guest is Jeffrey D. King. He is a filmmaker. His website, bluebeatsgreen.com, where you may purchase the film, Blue. You can also, he has a Facebook page, and you can watch the trailer for the movie. Anyway, you were talking about the all of the land that was no longer accessible, and which is terrible. I mean, these are the people who live there who should have access to the land, and getting back also to the fires. I hate to jump around, but getting back to the fires in California, if the animals are so important, I mean, don't they realize that when all of this land is being burned, scorched and torched, that the animals are going to suffer also? So it seems kind of stupid to say, oh, we want the land for the animals, when in fact the animals are going to suffer because of what they're doing also.
Yeah, absolutely. There's thousands of animals burn up in these fires every single year. Entire waterways are polluted so that every fish in the stream dies. And the pollution level that's never talked about is really out of this world. Let me give you an example. ExxonMobil, you know, which ranked as one of the world's largest polluters, produces about 10 million pounds of toxic air pollution per year. Okay, during 3 months in the summer, a single large fire could release 66 billion pounds of just one of the toxic chemicals out there. So in other words, 6,600 times more pollution than ExxonMobil releases in an entire year. Okay, now these fires, it's just like your garden, think about it, or anything else in life. If you just let it go, it's going to be overgrown with weeds. It's going to deteriorate, especially when you get up into Northern California and the Pacific Northwest, when you deal with a lot of, you know, varieties of trees like the Douglas fir. They're actually shade intolerant. And so logging is one of the healthiest things you can do for the environment there, because you're able to selectively thin out some trees, create some more space, so you get more underbrush, you get new trees coming up. And it's that aspect of mankind's involvement in ecosystems that people have just completely forgotten about.
Right. Incredible. I think, too, about the redwoods. I remember as a kid going up and seeing those huge trees. And I'm thinking, so what's happening to the redwoods up in Northern California?
Well, Northern California, you know, like a lot of the counties up there, I think of, my mind's drawing a blank. What's the big county up in Northern California?
Shasta?
Siskiyou County.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then down by Eureka, all of these areas used to be the highest. Humboldt County is another one I was trying to think of.
Uh-huh.
They used to have the highest timber seat out of any county in the state. And, again, the same story. There were great jobs. There were great places to live, raise your family. And then, you know, environmentalists came in. Andy Stahl was one of the big guys in the mid-late 90s who came in and said, you can't log anymore because the spotted owls need this habitat. So they shut everything down, and they're still shutting everything down, and they're expanding the areas that people can log in the name of the spotted owl. Well, it hasn't helped the situation at all. The owls are still dying, and and it hasn't done any good whatsoever to the economy up there. You know, Andy Stahl was quoted for saying, if we could have, this is paraphrasing, but he said, the spotted owl is the perfect tool we can use to get people out of these woods. And he's like, if the spotted owl didn't exist, we would have had to genetically engineer something to replace it. In other words, and he was saying, I don't care about the owl. I care about what we get from the owl, which is banning people from these areas.
Oh, my gosh, you're so blatant. Now, the people in the communities that we're talking about, they have no choice whatsoever in the decision-making. Does the governor, is the governor compromised, or how does this happen? Do they have a facility a facilitator come in and try and get approval from the local community? How does this work?
Well, the locals just get stomped on. It's just the little guy against the big guy. And I encourage you to watch my film, Blue. Deanna, if you don't have a copy, I'll be sure to get you one. And because I interview all these people up in Northern California who are doing their best to try to raise awareness and fight against a lot of this stuff. You know, the state's coming after them. The federal government's there coming after them. These environmental groups are coming after them. And they're just watching their communities deteriorate. And they're fighting and they're trying, and it's a very tough battle, and they're up against a lot, and a lot of times it's so overwhelming, and that's where that's another factor that's going on with the young people leaving is the young people who are in these rural towns and who see their family struggle through complying with environmental regulation X and Y and B and Z. And suffering financially because of that, you know, they don't want to have to take up the torch and deal with that. You know, it's getting more and more and more eco-crazy. It's like, why would I want to stay here, scrape by, and, you know, work long hours, make little money, and have to worry about trying to deal with all these, you know, extreme groups and a government that's just cracking down on everything? It's like, no, you can't take another drop of water out of your creek.
Right. Yeah.
Well, guess what? The fish, I interviewed a ranching family in Northern California that are like facing a $70,000 fine, because they're accused of taking a little bit extra water out of a creek which caused a fish to die. Well, that's a crazy story in and of itself, but, you know, one day they wake up and they get a knock on their door and there's like people from four different federal agencies there. Reading them their Miranda rights. And basically, like, you know, anything you will say can be used against you in court, treating them like they're criminals. And anyways, there was a report of a dead salmon somewhere on their property, and they're quite sure that fish was planted there by eco-extremists who lives in the area. But that's what they're up against.
My gosh. And this is happening to private parties who can't even do on their land what they purchased the land for.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've been running their property, and taking care of it for generations.
Right. I know the same kind of thing happened to ranchers in Colorado, in the eastern part of Colorado. That they were just trying to take over the land. I mean, they were doing all sorts of really terrible things to these ranchers. There was a lot of suicide among the ranchers because they'd been there ranching for decades and decades. And we think often that so much of our production has gone offshore, you know, like car manufacturing and that kind of thing. But then when you look at all across the board, the labor across the board, such as in the timber industry, even the fishing industry, logging, all of that, and building dams, that would certainly provide jobs for a lot of people.
Yeah, and dams especially bring us cheap energy, and that's why I always say, ever since we've had the economic downturn back in 08, is like, if somebody really wanted to fix the economy in this country, they sure could. You know, every single job in the oil and gas industry leads to five jobs outside the fence line. So any job you open up in natural resources immediately creates another job. And you see that in areas like Texas or North Dakota that are starting to really go after natural resources. But and then, you know, that leads to more manufacturing jobs, and every manufacturing job that you create leads to three more jobs on outside the fence line. And you know, Montana, just looking at the Big Sky State, it's one of the most mineral-rich states. The state's nickname is the Treasure State. We have everything under the sun there. Not that it's like mine every single mountain, chop down every tree. Nobody wants to do that. And nobody will do that. You know, it's all so regulated that you can't, even under the most lenient conditions. But but the amount of good that we could do for this country and for this economy, even our national security, really, when you think about it, a lot of these minerals are used for the military, for research, for advanced technical fields, and we're not even allowed in millions of square miles in the West to even look for these minerals because they've been shut down and labeled quote-unquote wilderness areas, which is just a legal definition, which means you can't do anything there anymore. You can't log it, you can't chop down a tree, you can't even search for a mineral.
Wow. And so those are taken over. Wilderness areas are taken over by the U.S. government and, right? Or the state? Or both?
Yeah. And more that happens all the time. Just every year. Just a couple months ago, Obama created, with a swipe of a pen, the president created thousands of more acres of national heritage sites with the Antiquities Act. And that just goes on all the time. Northern California, Reed, I believe is his name, works for Earth First, radical extreme group. He's also pushing for a huge national monument there that would just officially lock off millions of square acres from human use forever.
Wow.
It's up in Siskiyou County there as well. So the misinformation, the propaganda is something that gets me all the time too. You see, whether it's a polar bear on the iceberg that's been completely twisted, or even the pelican in the oil.
Right.
Everybody's seen a picture of the pelican in the oil. Well, what you don't see is that pelican 2 minutes after that photo has been dunked in a bucket of mild dish soap water that's warm and cleaned up and flies away healthy and fine. And meanwhile, people don't talk about the 30 million birds, 30 million just in the U.S., I believe, that are killed, between 30 and 50 million, actually, that are killed every single year by wind turbines. Okay, beaks are chopped off, wings are chopped off.
Oh, my gosh.
Yet windmills are going to save the planet.
Oh, my gosh. And of course, that's in addition to all the poisons and garbage that they're spewing into the environment, like Monsanto and the Roundup and all that kind of stuff. Oh, and how many birds die a year?
Between 30 and 50 million, according to Save the Eagles International's estimates.
Oh, my gosh, I had no idea. We don't hear any of this, of course, on the news at all. Oh, my gosh. I'm taking notes.
Just an example of the propaganda. Efforts right now are going on to prevent, Russia and I think maybe the United States and other countries to not explore for oil or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll give you horrible horror stories about an oil spill, but people never talk about the environmental damage that these environmental saving the planet ideas like wind turbines cause. They don't talk about the negative impacts on the poor when you shut down affordable, reliable energy sources like coal and like oil. This is the number one thing that determines whether these third world countries can get out of poverty or not. And when you make that more expensive and less accessible, you really limit severely these countries' ability to get out of poverty.
Wow. Now, I mentioned earlier the Animas River and how the EPA actually was warned beforehand that that opening that mine would destroy that river.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that?
I'm not sure exactly the case specifically that you're talking about.
Apparently there was a Animas River in Colorado, and it was a mine that they opened up, and they were warned by a local expert that if they opened that up, that all this contaminated water would flow out into the Animas River and destroy it for decades. And they went ahead and did it anyway.
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just one story after the next, you know. And in the case of the Klamath Dam system we talked about earlier, I know when I was interviewing the people up there, they were talking about how dirty and filthy and stuff the river was before it was dammed. And what the dams did is they allowed the heavy metals, which run off of the hills in that area, to just kind of sink to the bottom. And so the salmon start swimming up the river now because the water's regulated and it's a lot cleaner.
Yes.
Never used to. It just used to be little sucker fish that lived there. If you read the journals of the settlers, there were never any salmon in some of these rivers. And now the environmentalists are saying, we gotta blow up the dams because the salmon can't get by. Well, there's ways around that. First of all, you can put in fish ladders and fish tunnels, which work and are proven. And salmon never used to swim up these rivers in the first place because they've been improved so much because of the dam system. And taking the dams out is going to release these toxic chemicals and just make an absolute mess of things.
Wow. Amazing. One of our listeners just Skyped me and is talking about the fatalities. Apparently there is an estimated 6.8 million fatalities from collisions with cell and radio towers, and 1.4 billion to 3.7 billion deaths from cats, according to the peer-reviewed study by two federal scientists.
Talking about death of birds?
Yeah.
Okay.
Birds and... due to cell towers and things.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And what can be said of that, though, is at least those two have some kind of a justification to them. In the case of the cell towers and the cats, but the windmills, I mean, the windmills really don't. You know what I mean? I mean, domestic cats, they make nice little companions, you know, if you like cats.
Sure.
Cell towers, well, people love cell phones, but all that's going on with the wind industry is just indefensible.
It is, absolutely. We are going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Your money. What is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your Pure Effect Ultra today by visiting pureeffectfilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit pureeffectfilters.com.
Woo, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from strikehardgear.com.
Strike what?
Strikehardgear.com.
Set your sights on strikehardgear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. Strikehardgear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest this last hour has been Jeffrey D. King. Somebody in the chat room posted an image of the Animas River before and after, and apparently the Animas, it was a gold mine pollution. It was done purposefully, and this is Navajo country, and it literally just destroyed the river. Which, of course, people depended upon. And the image, the before image is just wonderful. It's just beautiful river, rushing, clean. And now it's all yellow. It's terrible. It just makes one just absolutely so angry to think that they do this. And they did it deliberately. I'm sure they did because they did have sufficient warning that this was what was going to happen. So do you think, too, that things are done deliberately to destroy the local environment and to do what they're doing, fires and all kinds of overgrowth, and which makes for tinder and everything. Go ahead.
Yeah, you see, here's the deal too, because you know, one way or another, once you concede the authority to the government to regulate the environment, you've given them the authority to regulate absolutely everything and control absolutely everything, because there's absolutely nothing that's not a part of your environment. The phone I'm talking into is part of my environment right now. The ceiling over my head, the hairs on my head, the door, the food, you know, my,
sure,
my wife, everything that exists is part of the environment. So once they get,
sure,
the government authority, they can do everything. And they're cool with it as long as they can do everything. But if they screw up, it's not a big deal. They'll just clean it up. You know, it's once they have that control, that's, at the end of the day, that's all they want to keep. That's where they're going to get their money. That's where their jobs are going to come from, their security. That's how they're going to be able to have the power that they need, that they crave. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Right. They're playing God. And certainly it's.
Yeah, they are. They are. That's a great way to put it. They're playing God, and that's what these groups do when they come out and they try to control what goes on in these local communities and the local landscapes. They're totally playing God. It's like, nope, you guys can't do that anymore. You guys can't do this anymore. How dare you do that? And I'm not even going to try to work with you guys. We're just going to shove it down your throats.
Yeah. Wow. And it's all for money. All for money. The love of money. Well, I certainly want to thank you for what you're doing, and the movies that you've made, the two movies that you've made. And I hope that people will visit your website, bluebeatsgreen.com. I hope they will buy the DVD and join the Facebook group. It's people like you who wake the rest of us up and who alert us to what is going on, so that we can join you, and you can't fight alone. And certainly with numbers, we maybe can do something about this.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on again, Deanna. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you so very, very much. And I'm so glad that that Colin Gunn recommended you to me. He's a very good person and doing some wonderful work also.
Yeah, I agree. His stuff is great.
Yes, yes. I love the homeschooling idea. And but anyway, yes, your state is beautiful, and it's just a shame. And like I, when I see the what is going on in California, my heart breaks because I remember the beauty that once was there. And so anyway, thank you so very much.
Hey, thank you. You have a great evening.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you very much, listeners, for joining me today. And join me on Monday. And, of course, next Saturday. Take care. Bye-bye now.